Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the fourth webinar in the series of the DINA webinars. As it was announced, this webinar should be dealing with prevision, etheric devitalization, and the stage of saniasin, which DK is talking about in the first instruction to CDP. I don't think so I would have time to cover all these points, maybe just one of them. And it would have to be left to the following webinar. So I just thought I will let you know before we start, because one never knows that how much, at least I never know how much information I'm going to have about a particular point, and sometimes even a few sentences of DK take 2 hours of what he's trying to say if one is putting together the astrology, the psychology, which are the rays, and other things with it. So, okay, we will, before we start, we will make a small alignment of the group field, so please everybody quieten your levels. And focus the attention in the head. And imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. We'll sound the Om 3 times for each of the 3 lower vehicles as we imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body. Purifying the mental body, I have little bit problems, sorry. Purifying the astral body. Strengthening the etheric body. Now visualize the threefold integrated personality as one united field, unified by the white light. Personality Soul Fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex of the triangle and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. The apex of the triangle with the mental body is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards. By an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. See the six-pointed star as a shining sun, representing the soul-infused personality. And sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers, Ajna, heart, and head. Into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Om. Thank you. You will see the chart on the screen of the Disciples CDP, the NATO chart. Which we would be referring to. But we will start first of all reading the instruction. In the last webinar, we went up to the point ending with the sentence, achieve that inner poise which faces all that comes in the light of the eternal. That's where we finished. Today we will continue and we start with the sentence, you are immersed so often in the terror of the moment. Yes, terror is the word I wish to use. That the astral turmoil permits not the clear light of truth and of knowledge to shine in. Both are yours. You are wise and experienced in many ways. Sympathy, understanding, loyalty to occult truth, and steadfast endeavor plus selfless thought are yours. And these qualities are recognized. How else your inclusion in this group of mine? But much hindrance comes through fear. Now, we will be dealing and looking at these DK's words to CDP. And as I said number of times, it is very important to know how to read DK, because with every word he is guiding us to a particular energies and particular levels. With this word here, immersed, he is leading us to the astral plane. It is a water, representing the water emotions, where she is immersed in the emotion of the astral plane. So often in the terror of the moment. He is using a very strong word here, as he is in the brackets telling us himself. And terror, it's a powerful fear of the moment. When she's surrounded by that fear, there is a terror, felt such a powerful fear. And we know we have dealt with fear and its aspects in the previous two webinars in great detail. And with the word astral turmoil, he's confirming the words which he's starting with, immersion and the terror. That we are dealing with the powerful emotional energies which she is very much and very often you know, surrounded with. And this permits not the clear light of truth. Truth and knowledge are the energies of the fifth ray. Truth is very much nine house Sagittarian energy. Her powerful Taurus in her chart has given her the accumulation of knowledge and devotion through the placement of the Mars in Taurus, devotion to light of knowledge and wisdom. When he says you are wise, he is not saying why wisdom of the spiritual triad. He is speaking a wisdom of the soul, because she is not yet in a triadal energies. Being second ray soul, he's talking about wisdom of her second ray, love wisdom here. Sympathy, understanding are the qualities of the second ray. Loyalty is the quality of the sixth ray, which we know she has a powerful sixth ray conditioning her on three levels. The occult truth is the fifth ray coming from her Uranus placement in the third house, which deals with the mental energy. Steadfast endeavor is again Sagittarius, Scorpio, Taurus energies, sixth ray, one-pointedness, persistence, endurance. And he's recognizing all these qualities she has. And he's telling her, you know, if she didn't have them, she would not be allowed to participate in his group. So he selected his disciples according to those energies which he required to form his group. But you see, he started again with telling her of the good qualities. But then he ends by the fact of not so good, reminding her that much hindrance comes through fear. And fear is the astral force, which is her a great a blocking energy in fulfilling her soul purpose. So, CDP was worried and afraid, you see, for those she loved. And those she loved were mainly her children and her family. And she feared for them, for the future, fear of the future, which, you know, it's a combination, very distressing combination of instinctual memory, which we find astrologically in the sign Scorpio, and anticipatory, you know, like she anticipated always the worst to happen. Anticipatory imagination, which, you know, it's sixth ray Neptune in relation to Sagittarius, because Sagittarius and the ninth house are related to the future, to the path, when we're looking ahead. So if we trace the memory to the sign Scorpio, and I will now put up the chart that you're going to see the chart as we proceed. Let me just find it. Here we go. I am mentioning here Scorpio, where she has her moon with that test of fear, which we already discussed last time. Okay. This is the Sagittarian ninth house, where she has Saturn, another planet related to fear in Pisces. And Neptune, with a powerful sixth ray, of course, also the Mars in Taurus, which carries the two planets of a sixth ray. And particularly Neptune, it's her esoteric ruler of her ascending Cancer sign, representing the soul purpose. And the moon, the another ruler of Cancer, the rising sign, it's the another planet which has to be always considered together, especially at the stage of the past where she was, because many times the moon is more powerful for her than the Neptune towards the qualities of which she should aspire. So, as we trace the memory to the sign of Scorpio, where there emerges from the individual past lives and experiences, that which is the sum total of all instinctual tendencies, of all inherited glamours, and of wrong mental attitudes. And to all of these three levels, we give the name the dweller on the threshold, represented by Saturn. And in each life, some of these personality defects of the three lower bodies are corrected through the nine tests in Scorpio, which takes us really to go through the first three initiation, where the powerful dweller emerges at the third initiation for the final fight with the angel of the presence. So in this incarnation, CDP was facing the fourth test of fear in Scorpio, placement of the moon, and its various aspects like worry, irritation, nervousness, which again we have already dealt with these issues, but they would be coming up through all the instruction more or less because of the powerful influence over her. And Moon and Saturn are both related not only to fear, to the personality and to the form, but through all the lunar lords, including the Mars with the Moon, particularly. Mars, ruler of Scorpio. And being placed in the most powerful sign of desire, Taurus, in the critical degree of 29. And Saturn placement is very, very difficult placement to have in Pisces. It can be interpreted from different levels, from different perspectives, but at the moment we are going to deal with the fear of the future, because it's placed in the Sagittarian house, which is dealing with the future. There has to be found a release through widening of the vision. The first decanate of Pisces is esoterically ruled by Jupiter. And Jupiter is her second-ray soul planet. And Sagittarius is related to vision. This is the house of the vision also. So Jupiter has to widen the vision, not to narrow it down. Worry and anxiety, which are the aspects of the fear, they are all part of the astral energy. They can be overcome only by the soul. The flashes of the vision, or what DK called prevision, emanating from the soul, who is dwelling in the consciousness of the eternal now. As DK is telling her in this instruction, achieve that inner poise which faces all that comes in the light of the eternal. This is where he is leading us to the point of poise, of the equilibrating energy of the soul, which is steadily holding of the achieved soul contact, really, which CDP was told that only the love of her soul will free her. There are a number of energies when we're looking for the soul, but one of the key planets is Venus, then the soul purpose, Neptune in relation to the ascendant, and the soul contact we're getting through the nodal axis, which are always related unions, to contacts of many kinds and many levels. But we will be dealing with soul contact in more detail at some later stage, not now. What is important at the moment, what he's telling her, that this soul contact has to be persisted in steadily all day, every day. And the consciousness of the soul, or what we call the knower, is stabilized in the brain. Then the prevision of vision of the future will not carry the terror. The brain is ruled by the earth. It can be ruled by Saturn also, but in her case, it is the earth, because earth is the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, which deals with the vision or prevision. And the earth is always opposition of the sun. Here is the earth, and it's placed in Libra. That's the equilibrium of the soul, the poise, sign of balance. And Earth is in aspect to Venus, which represents the soul. And it's also aspected to Saturn. So we have a triangle: Saturn, Venus, Earth. We have the mind, we have the soul, and we have the brain. This is the alignment which he needs to establish in achieving the stability of the soul contact and hold it there every day. And not an easy thing for anybody of us to do. And just imagine, she was not even technically accepted disciple. She was what DK calls an average disciple. Saturn is in the ninth house of truth and higher knowledge, where I say that decanate, where he is, the first decanate of Pisces, it's ruled esoterically by Jupiter, which rewards the disciple with seeing the true or wider vision. And obviously the contributory factor to what we're talking about is the major T-square in her chart, Saturn, Venus Mars conjunction. They are in opposition Jupiter, and both are square, the Saturn in the ninth house. So, only then the picture can be seen as a whole through that wide vision, and not, as DK tells her, the terror of a moment, or what he's saying as a passing or fragmentary glimpse of that whole. That's why she's surrounded by the terror of that fragment of that whole, because she is focused in that fragment. It means it's a very low and personality energies. She's not seeing the wider vision of the soul, because if she's seen it, she would not experience that terror of that moment, of that fragment, of that whole. So the remedy is the establishing of such a close relationship between that soul, brain, and mind, of that triangle. Very important in relation to what he is actually talking here in these few sentences which we just read. So, and via the train and control mind, not an easy for Saturn in Pisces to have either, and particularly with her Venus in Gemini, which is also very agile and active mind, and so is Mercury in Aries. These mental energies have to be focused and stabilized. Then the cause and effect, because karma is involved here too, will be seen as one. And then right steps can be taken to handle the situations correctly. You see, prevision or vision of the future is not entirely divorced from the past, which is represented always by the moon, past, which is the major blockage energy for our soul progress, for our fulfillment of our soul purpose. But there must be always some grain of seed of truth in that past. Truth, Sagittarian, past, moon. You see, moon trines Saturn. Moon trines Saturn, and it's placed in a Pisces decanate of Scorpio. And we have a, not only through the aspect, but also through the Piscean energy where Saturn is, and the moon, which is in Piscean decanate of Scorpio. It's a very powerful relation of the astral energy here also. And Karma, Saturn, is very much involved in the world of spiritual insight, because it enables the seer, Sagittarian is a sign of seer, to see the future, and the future is symbol of the ascendant, and to forecast what is coming. So these are the energies involved here. Nothing ever happens without involvement of karma. And you see, Saturn in Pisces is what it's telling us. Karma accumulated over many lives and coming to the end. It's the final sign of the zodiac, Pisces, of the past incarnations. But this karma is particularly related for her. This is a minor cycle. This is a not major cycle for her. But it's a cycle for her of the past three lives, at least, where she was dealing with the powerful six-ray force. And this is a fourth incarnation where the soul has chosen very difficult circumstances again for her to finally release herself from this karmic powerful influence of that astral energies. There is, you know, to study what is karma and understand what really karma means, it's, you know, it's very important. And particularly what we're dealing here now at the moment, we're dealing with karma, which in understanding that it determines the sequence of evolution, of evolutionary progress, the period of karmic recognitions and conclusion of a karmic cycle. This is the conclusion of a karmic, we can call it sub-cycle, but very important for this disciple. So karma is predominantly concerning cycles and the sequence of events. And I would like to show you this little graph here. I was just telling you about this, what karma is, about the cycle. But I have a little graph here, which I set up in relation to this issue, which is being discussed. Which I have adapted from another cycle in relation to the initiatory process. We have three stages here of the cycle, of the karmic cycle. The first one, the end of cycle of happening, retrospection and the past in relation to the moon. Okay, because every vision of the future has something from the past, as we were talking about. And there is always something good also in that past. But many times it predominates, or we remember, or we are engulfed in the negative energies of the past, which the moon always brings from the past as a blocking energy. And for her, it was the fear and all its other aspects as a worry, anxiety, nervousness, and all what we dealt already with. And so in her case, the moon in Scorpio represents this past accumulation of the karmic cycle, and she remembered the terror, but she remembered also some of the good, because she loved her family very much and her children. And that's why she was so afraid of them, because there was this terror of the past which she remembers to such a depth that when it came, and it came often, she was like surrounded in a cloud of darkness. And there was no light. It was that fragment of that hole which she only felt and remember. Then the second part of the cycle is the appearance of an eventual yet imminent cycle. Now we're looking towards the future, the prevision, which is related as a symbolically to the ascendant energy. Now we know that she has a Cancer rising, which the moon is the ruler. Okay. So the development of intuitive vision through that Neptune as an esoteric ruler of that Cancer, and the Sagittarian intuitive insight has to be developed. I want to just point to the chart that Neptune, as the esoteric ruler of her rising sign in Cancer, is making a sextile to that ascendant. You see here with that blue line. And Saturn, the karmic and mental energy in the ninth house, is making a trine to that ascendant. So we and the Neptune is also sextile to that Saturn. So she had a strong potential to deal with this energy, to develop that intuitive insight, to see the bigger picture of the truth. Because the quality of the revelatory power of intuition indicates future receptivity to the dimly sensed truths, and is related to the entire phenomena of vision and prevision. Okay? And the developed soul contact will relate soul knowledge, which is the soul, fifth ray, Venus, and she has a fifth ray mental body, okay, with a brain impression, esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, through the train and control mind, Saturn in the ninth house of Sagittarian energy. And then there will be a correct knowledge and a vision, a prevision of coming events and individual destiny. So the intuition is very important key in seeing the vision correctly, and the mind through which that has to come, and the brain has to be developed and in alignment with the soul. Now, coming back to my little graph here, the last point of that cycle is recognition of its occurrence at the, in the present, which a symbol of which is the sun. And sun, in her case, would you believe it's in Sagittarian decanate of Aries? We cannot get away from that Sagittarian prevision, because it's repeated, and you know, sixth ray, it's transmitted through that Sagittarian energy, and so is fifth ray, and both are very powerful in her ray makeup. And as we know that the Earth, the esoteric ruler of Sagittarius, it's opposition the Sun, which is, you know, in, we have it in every chart. But in this case, the significance of it is that a Chiron, which conjunct the Sun, and it's also opposition that Earth, this is representing the wound and the healer at the same time. Okay? Something needs to be corrected in the flow of energies here. And this works on from a different perspective, on from different levels of interpretation. But in this case, you see, because it is also conjuncting that Neptune, it's actually on the midpoint between Sun and Neptune, you know, the vision through the imaginative energy of that Neptune in relation to the Sagittarius, it's not seen rightly. That's why the terror, and that's why the fear. So there must have been some truth from the past life behind her extreme fear for her family and children. The two planets of fear, as I said, are in aspect through the sign of Pisces decanate of Scorpio, and also are in aspect. But the moon, you see, the moon is also the esoteric ruler of Virgo, which rules the fourth house, which is the Cancer house. She has a Cancer rising, and the moon. You see this relationship appearing here between the soul purpose, Cancer rising, the fourth house, which in this case deal with hereditary karma, particularly in relation to the family and karmic family relationships, strong ties. Because all the permanent atoms, which are the hereditary memory of all previous incarnations and family history, are represented here in the fourth house. And giving the form or the personality or the bodies, which are built around the permanent atoms, in which the soul energy anchor itself in the present incarnation. So it signifies this area of the false house. Obviously, there are other interpretations of that false house, but we are dealing with one particular aspect of it now. So it signifies the entire previous life's experiences of the soul and shows the foundation of the soul life. And the placement of the moon as a ruler of the Cancer ascendant and the fourth house, it is veiling Neptune. It is veiling Neptune because it is the energy she is engulfed with. And when we look at the esoteric rulership of Virgo, moon is veiling either Vulcan or Neptune. But through her powerful psychic link to the astral plane energies, it is the Neptune which the moon is veiling. And it is the fifth house of children. So family and children are related energies from a number of astrological perspective we look at here. And the fear for those she loved. But the fifth house also represents the causal body. This is the place of causal body, the body of the soul, which has its own atomic triangle at the base of physical permanent atom, astral permanent atom, and the mental unit. So the causal body of the fifth house signify the qualities, the talents we have acquired and built into that causal body during the process of all our incarnation up to the present time, obviously. And so that is also for her. The other area dealing with causal body is the first house. Okay? But here it is from the perspective of the identity. We have three levels of identity. Okay? And in relation to the causal body, we're dealing with the identity of the soul and its expression in manifestation upon the physical plane. And emergence of the soul purpose, together with the esoteric ruler Neptune and the exoteric ruler Moon. These energies have to be looked together because they are working together from a number of relationships which we are gradually putting together. And so what we see here through this relationship, we see that the moon veiling Neptune is linking first house, fourth house, and the fifth house in relation to the past lives. And indicates the present lessons, the tests, and the qualities to be expressed or added to the causal body. Now, we see here a very interesting conjunction between the moon and one of the four asteroids, which I used in this chart, called Ceres. And it is an asteroid dealing with the nurturing mother, a moon mother nurturing unconditional love through the Piscean decanate of that moon for her children, fifth house. Because Ceres, the asteroid, is the symbol of mother and educator of children. She loved children. She worked with children even after she died, saving their consciousness during the war. From the higher perspective, it indicates the nurturing of the soul. And it is this quality of the soul which she needed to nurture in her children. And thus love them as souls, not as personalities. That is a major lesson. Now, just a comment that asteroids are connected with the astrology of the feminine and have to do with the matter aspect, not consciousness. And they are very much related to Virgo, which is the sign connected with the feminine and nurturing of the embryo before it emerged through the birth, a symbol of the divine mother. Isn't that interesting? That asteroid is such a powerfully related to that moon, and through that Virgo karmic relation to her family past. But you see, I'm going a little bit in detail with this conjunction because it's so significant for this disciple. Because it is not happening in the same decanate of that Scorpio, you see. The asteroid Ceres is in the first decanate, 9 degrees. But the moon, it's in the second decanate, which is Pisces. And that is bringing a combination of different energies linked together. And would you believe, again, what we're getting? It's a Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer. The most powerful triangle of energies in relation to emotion and astral plane are linked also through this conjunction. Where her most difficult test of fear is faced in this incarnation. And through the Mars as a ruler of Scorpio, in the powerful sign of Taurus, of desire, and Neptune, which the moon veils, and Neptune as a soul ruler of the ascendant, we have a Mars-Neptune combination, the most powerful combination transmitting sixth ray, which indicates intense, excessive devotion or idealistic love and strong attachment as a source of glamour, which needs to be dissipated by the power of the light of the soul and the courage, C, capital letter, her first, was the most important keyword of development in that life, courage of the soul. Courage on a higher level is the Mars. It's opposing to her soul ray planet of second ray Jupiter. Through this difficult T-square, Mars, Venus, conjunction, opposition, Jupiter and Saturn. We will be coming back to these energies over and over again from a different level. And so, through Pluto, as special spiritual ruler of Scorpio, and a sole ruler of Pisces, where also the Saturn is, and her Dharma in Pisces. This is the energy of destructive, severing, healing. Healing, which will distract the powerful hold of the old ancient thought forms of fear which she carries with her. If this is done, it would bring Uranus in the seat of power as the esoteric ruler of the Libra fifth house. It will bring the sense of right proportion and forming or establishing of right or soul relations, Libra, with people she loved. You see, she has to deal with this difficult square between the moon and Uranus. But if she succeeds, she will shift the veiling Neptune, and then the moon will be veiling Uranus. The mental energy, the occult mental energy of that Uranus, which is also conditioned on one of its levels by the fifth ray. She needs that fifth ray on that mental level. And she needs it as a controlling energy of the mental body, but of the abstract mind or higher mind. Over here in the ninth house, the Sagittarian house, Uranus is ruling that house. It's Aquarius ruling the ninth house. And Uranus rules the mental permanent atom on the first atomic subplane of the mental plane, representing the abstract or higher mind. These are the axes, third, ninth house of the lower and higher mind of building of the Antakarana. For her is the first part of the Antakarana, which has to be built through Saturn between the lower and higher mind. And that stabilizes herself into the seat of the observer or knower or soul, because the soul planet ruling Aquarian energy, and that the higher mind is Jupiter, her second ray soul planet. And again, these energies are related and conditioned again by this T-square. Mars-Venus conjunction, opposition Jupiter, and both squaring Saturn. These are the areas which linking also the 12th house, 6th house, and the 9th house. It's the mutable cross. Twelve house, it's a very subjective area. She was escaping towards the astral and mental planes. That was one of her reasons of her devitalized condition. Sixth house are energies of adjusting and correcting together with Chiron, the wound or the healer, which is related to two signs, Sagittarian and Virgo. Not only for her, but for generally speaking. We also know, through the recent information being given to us by some people, that she was a genealogist doing research in the family history, family, cancer, fourth house, which we discussed. And so this is leading us to the ruler of fourth house, Mercury, which is in Aries here. And it is not strongly aspected, her Mercury. But the most important aspect, the most significant, is that semi-square to Pluto. Because Pluto, you see, is the purging, healing, severing energy she needs to cut the emotional ties to her family, was part of her Dharma, because Pluto rules her esoterically, her Piscean Dharma. And it's related to that karmic mental energy of Saturn in Pisces. And of course, it's the spiritual ruler of Scorpio. So there is automatic relationship to that Scorpio, because it's in Piscean decanate of Scorpio, that moon, where Pluto is ruler of both signs, Scorpio and Pisces. And it's also the dispositor of the energies of this Moon-Saturn aspect through that Scorpio Pisces. We know that Pluto is related or governing also the mental body. That's why Pluto was discovered so late, even it's always been there and existed, because humanity was not ready for it, because the thinking ability of humanity was not developed earlier. Pluto is related to the death or cessation of old ideas, thought forms, and emotions. That's why it's so important for this disciple, that planet, because it carries the first ray of destruction, but it is also a healing energy. But its influence is largely cerebral or mental. And so its effect is always first felt in the mental body. We see that Pluto is placed in the Capricorn decanate of Taurus. Are we coming back to that Saturn in Pisces? Saturn rules that decanate, which is on the cusp of the 12th of Piscean house. Again, relationship of that Pluto to Pisces and Saturn. And bringing also that mental energy of Saturn with it. And so through this link of energies, we see the past life karmic link to that Mercury-Pluto aspect and its significance. in relation to that a purging or healing or severing of the emotional ties she had to her family and the karma of that family relations. It is interesting that this aspect between Mercury and Pluto lasted from the day of her birth until reaching exact aspect from May 1935 to February 1936, which we would look at what DK would be talking about through those years of instruction. Because every planet, every sign can be looked at and interpreted from a number of levels. Excuse me. So, when we look at this a little bit wide conjunction, but it is in working operation here, between Mars and Pluto in Scorpio, it's not an easy conjunction, particularly in Taurus. You know, it's a very powerful desire and sometimes very destructive force. And these two planets are are connected to the solar plexus. The Pluto is connected as a non-sacred planet also to the astral body and solar plexus, and so is Mars. And Mars, it's on a midpoint between Venus-Pluto and Venus-Saturn. Midpoints, it's an excellent tool to have to go deeper into the chart, and it's an excellent rectifying point. So this combination of energies, you see, taking also Venus Saturn aspect with it through the midpoints, indicate a possible termination or death of desire, because Mars being in detriment, it is in Taurus, indicates the lessening of that desire. It's in a critical degree of 29, and it's between Pluto and Venus there. It is not only a termination or death of desire which actually happened in Scorpio, where Mars is also the sole ruler, but also of any idea which is coming from above. And you know, the world of ideas are cosmic ethers. It's the triad up there. Which has a little chance of manifestation in form because it's aborted on the astral plane. So this indicates an unsuccessful or not completed creative process on the lower or higher level. We don't know about the private life of this disciple, and DK never talk about private things to the group. But you know, on the lower creative process, this must have been experienced in her life as a woman on a lower creative process of the birth also. It is also behind her, it's a contributory factor in her inability to bring through the manifestation of the soul, the energy of the soul, to relate to that energy, to those around, the particularly people she loved. Because on the level of the soul, she was very powerful. But to bring that through and to live it and relate to that energy in others, that was her issue. The Saturn in Pisces indicates that, you know, she has an opportunity, and Saturn ruling that 12th house, Piscean house, with that Venus-Mars conjunction. Opportunity to take care of some very important karma in this incarnation related to her family, to her children, because Pisces is the last sign, as I said, end of cycle, karmic planet, and to achieve emotional detachment, right? That's why the Saturn is in Pisces. Saturn is detaching energy. Pisces is very emotional energy. That Saturn, Neptune, ascendant triangle is her, I call this a talent triangle. Two sextile and one trine. She has help here to achieve that. And fulfill her sole purpose in relation to that Neptune ruling her as a sole ruler of her ascendant. So the sign of Sagittarius, being one of the sign of vision, the other is Taurus. Mainly Taurus in the vision from the illumination point of view, and Sagittarius, which is ruling her sixth house of correcting, adjusting energies from the perspective we're looking at the moment, is related to the future, vision of the future and prevision, and to the path. That is one clue and indication to establish where we are standing upon the path. Okay? Which we would be looking at as we go through the instruction. It is interesting, you see, that Sagittarian is the sign of the seer. There was one of DK's disciples who was preparing for the third initiation, and DK was telling him that he can easily develop the innate faculty of prevision. And he had Sagittarius rising. Okay? And also was second-ray soul. And with Jupiter as a ruler of Sagittarius, he had it in Cancer, which is a very powerful, exalted placement for Jupiter. Interesting, in Cancer. And the Earth, as the esoteric rule of Sagittarian, he had it in Pisces. So isn't that interesting that both he and him, completely different stages of the path, but there was a similarity to the quality of the prevision, the faculty. And Cancer and Pisces were involved in relation to the Sagittarian energy. And he had a Virgo sun with a six-ray personality. So both had a second-ray soul and six-ray personality. And Venus was in Virgo in the ninth house or Sagittarian house. And he is giving a further information to this prevision, where he says the attention to detail, which is Virgo, is important aspect of prevision. So, through a few sentences of the first instruction, we are learning so much here. And six-ray, which he had so powerful on three levels there, personality, astral body, and the brain or physical body, very rare and unusual placement for the six-ray. Six-ray also, it's helping in the development of the ability of the faculty of prevision. Because why? Because it relates imagination with intuition. Both energies conditioned by six-ray through Neptune, which is the most important planet in relation to soul purpose, ruling the rising sign of Cancer. But the six-ray also produces a crystallization, particularly in the mental or energies, in a world of thought. And it is holding to the past, particularly if we have a strong and testing influence of Cancer and of the moon, as CDP has. Okay? So, we see that on the first impact, if we just looked at this chart, and we see that she has a Jupiter in Sagittarius and nothing much else, even it is her soul ray planet, it is still placed on the lower or personality rulership in Sagittarius. Okay? We would not immediately say that she has such a powerful Sagittarian energy in her chart. So that vision of that Jupiter in that Sagittarian sign of vision, it's very much focused also on the personality vision of what she sees as a personality and the detail of that, or part of that whole, the terror of the moment of the part. That's what she sees through that Jupiter in Sagittarius, in such a difficult T-square between the Saturn, Mars, and Venus. Okay? That's why only through the energy of the higher level of that Jupiter as the sole ruler of the ninth of Sagittarian house, ruled by Aquarius, it is the vision of the soul is needed to see the whole, not the fragment of that whole, which kept her in terror and fear. Um, There is another aspect to that Uranian energy as the exoteric ruler of that nine house ruling ruled by Aquarius. Being in the, you see, in Sagittarian decanate of Leo. Now, wouldn't you believe it? That there is also the potential here, through the meditative process, to go from the self-consciousness to group consciousness. Leo, self-consciousness, Aquarius, to group consciousness, through the meditative process here, through the mind, and use of the occult mind and the lower concrete mind. You see how reversed they are in the placement they are. And Uranus in Sagittarian decanate of Leo is making a powerful trine to the Sun in Aries in Sagittarian decanate of Aries. Okay? So automatically through these powerful Sagittarian energies, the Jupiter as ruler of Sagittarius, particularly being placed in Sagittarius, is emerging very powerfully from lower and higher levels of that energy. And so is also the planet Earth, which is implicated also in her, it's ruling the spleen, and it's related to her devitalized condition, which will be, we will be discussing, I don't know if tonight, but today, but certainly it is in the first instruction, which DK is mentioning it, and in another instruction as we go along. Now, I have come to the point where I want to deal with that etheric weakness. But BL, I am speaking to you. I think we are in 1.5 hour term, yes?
Yes.
So I wouldn't want to start just with few sentences of completely a new subject. And I would like to leave it for another webinar to go, because it's another area of very great interest and importance.
You have a question? Hold on, let me unmute. Okay, go ahead, okay, go Yogi. Ahead.
Oh, Lord, it's working. Hi.
Hi.
Good. Oh, won't you please rest for a moment and take a breath and maybe a drink of water? There's so much food being served at this buffet. Oh, such wonderful visions. If only we were practicing soul-based astrology at the time with this particular disciple, and we would say, oh, dear, dear one, if you're involved in a majority of your time with your group service, that will keep you soul focused. That will bring you back to the soul, the inclusiveness, the sharing, and then the treating of the brothers and sisters as family. This would bring that focus, I think, which would guide her through the, I guess we, this.
Well, this is a good opportunity to remind us of it.
Oh, my Lord. And then the parables, allegories from most of the religious literature, where the walking on the water, being able to calm the seas, which is the water, emotional, so forth, that is so vital. With that tool that she has and has worked on, that is almost, she's almost there. in real great service, because this is what so many students, aspirants, even disciples, hear, even illusions linger with us for many long cycles. But this is what people need. They need that sense of clarity.
Yeah.
From the emotions. I just wanted to say briefly, it's probably been more than a lifetime that I've been hanging on every word of a teacher. Almost fell off the chair a couple of times. And this is not directed to any personality. It is the subject matter. We're dedicating our time and appreciative effort with perhaps some partially useful thought forms at this particular time. Images are that it seems that karma was brought as a question during the talk. Karma. Again, it is the wheel. We continue to go until we learn what we need to learn and begin to weld with surety and love that new force that comes from the understanding. So, I please forgive me. I don't mean to speak so much, but I will just leave with one thing. I have many friends who have designed games on the internet, and I wondered about them, and then I said, all right, we'll try one. And in the game, karma, game, as you learn the mapping, you gain more powers. You're able to do more. It's quite amazing that it could even possibly be an allegory today, the game of life, the game of karma. And perhaps some of these games take many lifetimes, but believe me, I will wait as long as it takes and serve as hard as it takes just to know the essence of the soul love that we are here to ground and prepare over the next decade or so. Thank you so very much, dear teacher, and I am going to relinquish the sound now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Anybody else would like to say anything? Not if there is nothing, that's okay. It is so much to take in, and it needs a little bit to digest it and maybe to ponder. I can understand that.
Celia has her hand up.
Thinking about the terror, do we have any information about what kinds of things struck terror into her?
Fear.
Well, yeah, but of what?
Fear for her family.
Mm-hmm. So you told us in one of the previous ones that she was Jewish. I'm looking at the time 1931.
I never said that she was Jewish.
Oh, is she not?
I have no comment to make to that.
Okay. I was sure I heard that. Anyway, I was wondering whether it was fears relating to anti-Semitism that were driving her, and whether or not the deeply racial nature of that. But if she's not Jewish, then the whole question's moot. But I was sure you'd said she was Jewish.
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't see any more hands. Somebody's got a question. Let's see. Marion has asked, I would like to create my birth chart to this format. Where can I attain the software?
The program is called SolarFire, and it is available to be purchased, but how and from whom, I don't have that information. But it's quite easily obtainable.
And go ahead, Leah.
To obtain Soul of Fire, esoterictechnologies.com.au. They're in Adelaide, Australia.
Thank you, Leah.
There's also an American company that distributes it within the United States.
People, if there is no more comments or questions, I would like to conclude this webinar. Thank you for your participation. And
just before you go, Eleanor, be nice to confirm the date for the next webinar. And I have it down as the 23rd of March. Now, Joe, can you confirm that as being listed?
That should be correct as far as I know.
Okay. That'd be good for everyone to know that in advance, that's all.
Yeah. Yeah,
that is correct.
Yes, thanks.
And we've had a couple of more comments on the availability of where you can get Solar Fire. Eva has told us that Astrolabe, that's the name of the company here in the U.S. that distributes it. And Noeline says there is also an outlet in the U.K. So I would suggest to anybody just to Google Solar Fire, and it will probably show you the local outlet that you've got to get it. Okay, we have another question here from Yvonne. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Okay, I wanted to ask for the next webinar, should we read, what disciple should we read? Will it be the same one or will we be doing a different disciple?
Well, we haven't even finished the first instruction to this disciple.
I'm sorry. Okay.
And if we go in this temper, as I am putting on it, then, you know, we are only in the year 1931, first instruction, and the last instruction was 1940. And so there are a number of instructions. So if it takes five webinars just to finish one instruction, that gives us some perspective here.
We're going to be friends for a while.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and we have one more from Marion wanting to know where she can obtain the recordings of the previous webinars that you referred to.
Well, I think you can supply that.
Right. If you, Marion, if you go to www.moirafederation.com, that's our public website, and one of the top headings is going to be webinars, and if you scroll down there, it describes the previous webinars that we've had, the ones on astrology, the ones on the Dinah that Elena does, the Labors of Hercules ones, and it has the link in all of those to the previous webinars that we've had, so you can have access to all of them that way. Okay. Yvonne, your hand is back up, but you've self-muted yourself. Do you have some other question?
Okay, I just wanted to remind people, on daylight savings time, the next webinar in March, it's going to be an hour's difference, will be on daylight savings time, for those that that applies to.
We're going to be switching the time. This one started at 9 p.m. GMT, and that one will start at, I believe it's 8 p.m. GMT. But that will be in the notice.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that's all the hands, all the questions that I see.
Okay. Thank you again, everybody. and see you at the next webinar.
Bye, everybody.